Thank you, Sean. God bless. Welcome. I thought I'd give you a little background before we start getting into God's Word tonight. The church that I'm a part of, that most of you are a part of, is called Scriptural Study Groups. The reason for that is many, many years ago, back when the earth was cooling, a few of us saw that, you know, our Christian friends, as wonderful as they could be, as loving as they could be, so many of them were lacking in even a basic knowledge of the Scriptures. They were relying on tradition. They were relying on what their pastor told them. And we saw a real need to instruct everyday Christians in the Scriptures so they could know for themselves what they stood on, what they believed. So we started groups in the homes around Central Ohio, hence Scriptural Study Groups, that eventually became the church that many of us are a part of. And because that's our emphasis, as those of you who survived can attest, we don't care what you think. We want to know what the Scriptures say. You know, many of you who came for the first time were offended because, you know, you had this concept that wasn't scriptural and nobody wanted to listen to it. Or you had a tradition that wasn't scriptural. Nobody. That's because the Scriptures are reliable. The Scripture is God's Word. The Scripture has power in it. Your opinion doesn't. My opinion doesn't. So that's been our emphasis for so long. And you know, for all of us who read the Scriptures and have learned not to just skip over the hard parts, the other thing we've seen that's real evident to anybody who reads the New Testament is that there's supposed to be power in the church, right? The frustrating part is we're used to proving everything from the Scriptures. So where do we go in the Word to be taught about the power that we have in the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? For years, many of us said, oh, it's easy. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, it's all laid out there. Problem is, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 is not doctrinal. It's not teaching. It's reproof. Paul wasn't teaching the Corinthians how to operate the manifestations of Holy Spirit. They were doing that just fine, but they were doing it out of order. They were doing it without love. That's the point of those chapters. So if that's not where we learn about these manifestations, where do we go? Where's the book? Where's the verses? And that's the part that's been challenging for many of us, I think. So we gravitate towards, here's some class where we'll teach you about these manifestations, or here's some experience I've had. Jesus made it simpler than that. He said, the thing that's going to teach you how to walk in the Spirit is the Spirit. You know? And granted, for many of you who are like me, are so grounded in the Scriptures, that's a scary thought at first. Because I like to be able to show chapter and verse. However, when it comes to the life of the Spirit within you and me, it's so individual, just like you have an individual ministry in the body of Christ. You have a Heavenly Father who knows your heart, knows your ways, knows what will communicate to you and what won't communicate to you. No book could cover all of you. But God can. His Spirit can. The challenge for us is really twofold. I think for many of us, especially who are older, we've been taught things that may or may not, in many cases, are not scriptural. 10 steps, 3 things, 5 ways. That is not, the Word of God doesn't talk about that. But He does say, He talks about this Comforter, this Helper that's going to guide us into all truth. Because you've got to consider, in the first century church, and many of you have read the book of Acts, Paul went to the house of Cornelius, who was a Gentile, and preached Christ. And before he got done, they all started manifesting, speaking in tongues. And were they prophesying too in that record? Yeah. Wait, where was the class? There wasn't one. See, it makes it pretty... No, Peter was still telling him about what Jesus Christ accomplished, and they started manifesting. My point was there was no class. I think something can be said, and I don't think this is a cop-out. Some of you have visited other cultures around the world where they're very aware of a spiritual realm. You know, a few of us were in Kenya a couple times, and they're very aware there of that there's a spirit realm. And so very quickly, get healed. Very quickly, accept the fact that spirits need to be cast out once in a while, things like that.
Because the idea of a spirit realm, now a lot of what dwells in the spirit realm is not acceptable, but they're from birth, they're aware of the fact that there's this realm and then there's that realm. We have a deficit in that we've been raised in a culture where there's nothing but this. And that's, I believe that sets us back a little bit in even accepting the idea that I have this new life within me that carries power within it. If Jesus said that the Spirit will teach you, then the house of Cornelius, the minute they had that Spirit, it could begin teaching them, start speaking. Because there was no gap there. There was no class there. There was no pulling them to the corner and saying, now that you're born again, you can. They just did. You know. Now, you know, every culture has its deficits, right? If you ever go to Kenya, you'll see they have their challenges when it comes to the scriptures based on their culture. I believe in our culture, though, it's even for those of us who are immersed in the scriptures, it's a big hump to get over to truly, truly recognize there is a spirit realm and truly recognize there is a life-giving spirit within me that manifests itself powerfully in the world. The only way we're going to grow in that is by growing in, first of all, believing and recognizing what the scriptures say, which is you are a new creation. You know, this is not a fairy tale. It's not a figure of speech. There is something new in you, something living in you, something powerful in you that God put there for a reason. And then secondly, we need to develop a hunger for that. You know, our teachers this weekend are the experts in these manifestations. No, they're not. They'll be the first to tell you they're not. What they have is a hunger to not put this off any longer and to really learn how to walk in these things God's given us. And it's my prayer that their hunger rubs off on the rest of us, because we're behind on this one. When it comes to the first century church, we're behind on everything, perhaps. But what we see in there can and should be a reality in our lives. For you guys listening on the recording, the aliens just landed. Some have just decided to avoid this topic altogether because it's challenging. If we're going to say that we value God's word, we value the scriptures as being God's word, we can't do that. We've got to determine, what am I going to do with these places where it says I can heal people? What am I going to do with these places that say I can discern and cast out evil spirits? I can't just ignore them. If I ignore them long enough, I can get comfortable ignoring them. But still, every time you read those verses, you've got to recognize in your soul, that's part of the Christian walk as well. You know, I think another big thing we want to recognize is the operation of this power. It's not a prize. Okay? It's a gift. And if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have received that gift. Many in the Christian world, sadly, who believe in these manifestations, look at someone who's healing people and say, oh, he must have done some really good things for God to give him that. No, no, no. That ability is inherent within every Christian. The question is, am I going to operate it or not? One thing that'll help is to not see it as a prize, but see it as a need. Because it is a need. Our Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples right before his ascension, you're going to need this stuff if you're going to preach the gospel to every creature. We're going to need it as well. And we're going to need it because the church needs it. You were talking about men, Sean. There you are. I think another thing about men is we're much more afraid of failure than women are, in general. Most women I know fail, shake it off, get it. I know men who fail once and I'm never going to do that again. You're going to fail. you're going to fail. You know, part of learning to be confident and competent in anything is failure, right? Any athletes out there or former athletes? Okay. Any of you who got pretty good at what you did? Yeah, okay. You never made a mistake, right? No, the mistakes were part of becoming good at what you did. The same is true in this. See, we're going to make mistakes. If you come into this thinking about the times you failed to heal someone or the times you failed to get healed, you won't hear a word that's spoken this weekend. See, you are righteous in Christ. That covers it. That's the perfect shelter in which you can examine areas that you need to grow. And we all need to grow in this, you know. I know men who still let their failures define them. Christ defines me. Christ defines you. If you're letting your failures define you, you're never going to grow because you'll be scared to grow. Okay? But there's nothing keeping every one of us in this room, assuming you've all believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, from at least beginning to operate this power with confidence and competence in the world, you know? And again, another thing that won't help you is if you came to this weekend because you're lusting after power. You know? Yeah, I want to learn these so everybody look at me and say, oh, Nathan, what? Nathan. If that's your mindset, I would suggest you read Acts 8 regarding a man named Simon and see what Peter said about him. Okay. Your worth and mine lie completely, entirely, 100% in the grace of God, the work of Jesus Christ, and the fact that you believed on him. We have to start with that realization and remain in that realization, or our failures will begin to define us, you see. So we're not going to teach you everything there is about these manifestations. I'm not even certain there's 9 of them. Just because 9 are listed in Corinthians, he does not say these are the 9 manifestations. I'm not even sure there's 9. I'm not even sure, well, you'll see as the weekend goes on. But what I am sure is Jesus Christ said that this power in you and me is essential for the preaching of the gospel. And later on, we see it's also essential within the church. Record after record after record where the church was saved because somebody walked by revelation or somebody operated some power. These things are essential. And if you're willing to be one who sits back and says, well, yeah, I'll let those other guys do that. What are you here for then? You know? If we can't be all that is possible to be in this little short time we've got before the Lord's return, then why bother coming to a weekend like this? Why not just go play pickleball? You know, I'm assuming we all want to grow. And this is an area we can all grow in. And it's an area we're going to mess up in, and that's okay. But as we grow, you're going to be more satisfied in knowing that you're utilizing everything your Lord died for, not just a part of what your Lord died for. And the church needs it, you know. One final thing before I bring our first teacher up. We're not doing fellowships this weekend. Many times we do these weekends and we break into fellowships. We're not doing that this weekend. And the reason is I want you to feel free to do what you need to do to digest the things that are taught this weekend. And that might mean taking a long walk and talking to your Heavenly Father. And if we throw a fellowship in there, you might not have the time to do that. That being said, let's make this our topic this weekend. So if you see a group of 3 guys talking, join in, because hopefully they'll be talking about these things and we can help each other in them. And please, I see it every time, and it breaks my heart. There are always a few who come in Friday night pumped, and then they get caught up playing cards, playing basketball, hanging out, talking about nothing. Then Sunday comes, and you go home with nothing. Please don't make that mistake. It's only a weekend, and it goes by quickly. And I'm not saying you're forbidden to play basketball, but if you are, know why you're doing it. If all your friends are playing basketball and you just know you need to take time with your Heavenly Father, have the guts to take the time with your Heavenly Father, because it's your life we're talking about. There's going to be no test at the end, but you're leaving here with something more, or you're leaving here just the way you came in. If you're going to leave with something more, that means you need to make decisions regarding your life. You young guys especially, oh man, and I don't mean to pick on you. It's no secret that, you know, because the devil's the god of this world, as ages go on, cultures get more and more and more and more distracted. And you young guys, man, I feel for you, because you've just been raised in a culture where it's just boom, 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 Google it, games. And I watched a young guy the other day doing three electronics at once. You know, two different sets of headphones on and three electronics at once. And some of you know who it was. But if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to stop and say, is being fast necessarily building in me what I want in me? You can laugh about it, but is this what do I want to be, this frantic, baseless person like the people I see around me? If we look at God's word, we see that, boy, strong men are built from taking time to slow down. Strong men are built from taking time alone. If you're afraid of being alone and being quiet, then I challenge you this weekend, take some time to just be alone and be quiet. It'll be excruciating, you know, and that should tell you something about what you're subjecting yourself to. If just going for a walk by myself with no electronic devices makes me jumpy, then maybe that would get me to consider, what are these things teaching me? And is this what I want to be taught in? See, I'm not criticizing you for your electronic devices. You know, wish I had them for homework when I was your age. But some of us haven't even stopped and thought, are there times I should turn these off? This would be a great time to experiment with that. And, you know, I'm not just saying young. I'm looking at you young guys, but some of you old guys are just as bound to those devices as the young guys are. Not a bad time to realize once again, hey, I can survive without this thing. Not only that, I can hear from my Heavenly Father more clearly when I'm not feeling the phantom phone vibrate in my pocket. I can hear from my God more clearly when it's just me and Him and nothing else. So I really urge you to take that time for yourself. Take it in groups, however you, but let's help each other not lose sight of why we're here this weekend, all right?